Yeah, while we were worshiping now, just singing the Spirit, I just experienced I am the Prince of Peace, and I think the Lord wants us to come into that place, enter into His presence, forget about our hectic lifestyles and all our problems, just come into His presence and enjoy the freedom and peace that is in Him.
I just feel as someone feels a bit like an orphan, even today, maybe at home specifically, you feel like, you know, Afrikaans, we have a saying, you're always safe on the achterspeen. But I just want to say, God the Father runs to you. As soon as you turn to Him, He runs to you.
I just want to confirm that word. I just felt God said that we must enter into His peace, and I know you. I just felt God said, I know you. You are my son. You are my child. I know you.
I just felt the Lord knocking on hearts here tonight, and He's just saying, He is here. All you have to do is open up and let the light of the Lord shine on you. Let the love of the Lord fill your heart.
While we were praising, I also had this really urge that we as children of God need to just focus on Him. Don't worry about the lost. He will sort that out. Just focus on God and praise Him for what He is.
I just want to pray again. Father, I just want to commit this time to You, God, that the word that we speak and the meditation of our heart, God, will be acceptable unto You, Lord. Father, thank You, God, that You are good and that You are faithful, Lord, and that Your word will not return void, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Angus Buchan preached in the Feast of Tabernacles in October 2012, and he read Acts 1-2, and the Engedi Desert, where it was, it hasn't rained for 18 years. The wind never blows. And as he was reading the scripture about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the wind started blowing like that, and it never happens. And some of the wires started burning. And the three signs in the Bible of the Holy Spirit is wind, water, and fire. And all the people there, after I preached a sermon in the morning, I really felt I had to preach it at night as well. I saw the book of his, and he just said the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit was so strongly there that people just, their lives were touched. And many people spoke about healings and God touching them when God's Spirit came powerfully like that. So I want to share with you the scripture in Acts 2. And I'm not going to read all of it, but it's just the story where Luke tells to this Greek leader of what happened with Jesus. He wrote Luke and then he wrote Acts. And he said that Jesus was on this earth, and when he was crucified, he raised from the dead, and he was walking amongst the people, and he was teaching and the disciples lost things. And then he came to a place where Jesus said to them that you've heard from me that John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then they wanted to know, when is the end times? He said, don't worry about that. Go. And as you go, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you'll get power to be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the end of the world. And then they came together, all the disciples, to the upper room, as Jesus had asked them to go, and they started praying in unison. And with all the women, they prayed together. When the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all these men, and they all started speaking in different tongues. And many of the tongues that they spoke in were languages that they could not speak. Some of them maybe Greek, others Latin, some of them maybe Ethiopian, the Ethiopian language. But they were speaking languages that they couldn't speak. But they all were speaking the mysteries of God. And the people looked at this and said, are these guys drunk? And Peter, as Angus Buchan said in the clip, he stood up and he said, these men are not drunk. This is the Holy Spirit. As Joel had prophesied over us in the last days, that God will pour out His Spirit, this is what is happening now. And he started preaching about who what Jesus was. And by the end of the sermon, it says that the people were cut to the heart. And they said, but what must we do to receive this Jesus? And they said, you must repent, you must be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then it talks about how people would sell some of their stuff, and they came together and they worshiped together, and how God was adding to the church daily. Peter's first sermon, 3,000 people came to the Lord. So I just wanted to a raising expectation of what the Holy Spirit can do. And as we were praying before the time, we just sense that God wants to break the religious spirit. We believe, we come to church and we sit in the pew and we hear a message and we go home and we feel great for the day. But there's a place that God wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh and great and wonderful things be done through you and you and you and even me. That God wants to do mighty work through us by the Spirit, by the power of His Holy Spirit. So in Acts 1, Jesus said to them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And I just want to say something about the obedience to the Word of God. When we hear that Word and we go like, "Ah, oh, Lord," like this morning, I said to God, Joe Niemand was here, maybe you've heard of him. And I said, "God, just give us 500 people, please." And there was exactly 500 people here. Now I'm just thinking, why didn't I just say 700 or 1,000? I must really put my faith out there. But I heard this voice, 500. So there's a place that we hear that small voice and we say, "God, I'm putting my faith out for that, what I believe God is saying to us." John baptized with water, but Jesus will baptize us with His Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be your witnesses. And just something that one of the guys came forward. Yes, we focus on Jesus. And as we focus on Him, His love will compel us to go into the nations. And I want to encourage you to go on a mission trip, to maybe even take a year off and go somewhere where God can use you. Because as you go, God's power will come upon you. You'll pray for the sick and they get healed. You will pray for people and lead people to Christ. There's nothing more amazing when the God that created this universe uses you to change someone's life. And you will know one day in heaven, you'll stand there and God will give us a reward for the things, the works, the good works that we've done. Not works as in, "Oh, I've got it back, cheese," but works that God has called us to do. For instance, to go out to the nations. So there was, in 1820, there was this church in the Czech Republic, 1727, that it was the Moravian Church. And they were pretty much like our church today. They were in the gifts. And then the Roman Catholic Church became the state church of the Czech Republic. And they were heavily persecuting Protestant churches. So these guys had to flee the Czech Republic, and they went to Germany. And this man, A. von Zinzendorf, said to them to come and live on his estate, 300 people. But they all had different theologies. They had their own agendas. They all felt that church had to be done in a certain way. So no one really got together, like didn't get along well with one another. So this von Zinzendorf said to them, "Guys, you must pray." So they started praying. They came together and they started praying. And God's power came upon them. And they started praying. They felt the Spirit of God. They started seeing miracles. And then they were stirred to start praying. And 24 men and 24 women decided that they were going to pray for 7 days, 24 hours a day. That prayer group lasted 125 years. That Moravian church of 300 people in the next 25 years sent out 3,000 missionaries into the world, more than the whole Protestant movement the previous 200 years, because people came together and they started praying and waiting on God, and they were expected of what God can do in their lives. Now, in verse 9, it says that they saw Jesus going up into heaven, and these angels came and said to them, "As Jesus went up, He will come down again." And we must not focus on the miracles. We mustn't focus on the wonders. We must focus on Jesus. That is what our desire should be. We should come to a place where we surrender completely and say, "This Jesus, He is the one that we serve. He's the one that we want." And not running after the miracles and running after the wonders. But we must seek Jesus, because when we seek Him, the miracles will follow. Verse 13 says, they all came together as Jesus instructed them. They went up to the upper room, and now they were together, 120 of them. they were in one accord. All the disciples with all the women in one accord, and they devoted themselves to prayer. And as they prayed, God's Spirit fell upon them. But the thing about prayer, in 1809, Cape Town was a godless place. They said it was the Paris of the Southern Hemisphere. People were drinking and having huge parties, and there was lots of sexual immorality because not many men had wives here, but there were many women that that they thought were their wives, but they weren't married yet. But there was these two British soldiers that came to Cape Town. They were stationed here. The one man, his name was John Kendrick and George Middlemiss, and they said they didn't meet one Christian in 1,000. And the one or two that they met were heavily persecuted by the other, by the people that lived in Cape Town. So they started praying, and they prayed all the time, and they prayed for God to pour out His Spirit on Cape Town. And then in 1809, for 8 days, there was an earthquake, and it continued shaking for 8 days. It just shook the world like this, and everyone started crying out to God, saying, God, we need a Savior. And a revival started because these people started calling out to God. And after 10 years, this revival went over to the Eastern Cape, where people just surrendered to God and said, God, I need you in my life, because of two men that started praying. Now in Acts 2, it was when Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. So they all came together. They are excited of what God can do. They've been praying. And then the scripture that Angus read said, and then suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. In Wales, 1904, godless people, drinking, mine workers, hard, hard men. They swear at their donkeys. They hit one another. The men would go to the bars and come out, and they would punch one another in the face to see who can last the longest, drinking hard whiskey. And people believed that Christianity was going to die out within 40 years, that no one would serve Jesus anymore. But the few Christians that they were started praying, and they prayed out, and they prayed to God. And God started moving, miracles started happening, and some men started standing up and started preaching the word. But then one man, even Roberts, got saved, radically saved. And but he saw visions, and he had dreams about 100,000. That's all he dreamt about. That's all he seen. And he started, and he just wanted to preach. And he went to his pastor, and his pastor said to him, "Well, I'll trust you with the youth. You can pray. You can have. You can go and you can preach your first sermon to the youth." And as he prayed to them, a mighty rushing wind came, and it filled the church where they were. And people started falling on the ground, starting falling under the power of the Holy Spirit. And people's lives started changing dramatically. People had this conviction of their sin. They cried. They fell on the ground. Some laughed. Some were screaming for joy. But people's lives were powerfully changed. Many people were just lying there because the Holy Spirit came so powerfully upon them. The mine workers would come after their shift to church. Many of them would sit for 12 hours in the church, just sitting and soaking up what God was doing. There were no more Bibles in the bookshops because all the people bought the Bibles and to take it home because they were so hungry for the Word of God. There were people, the donkeys in the mines had to be retrained because they didn't listen to the hallelujah songs anymore because they were so used to being sweared at. So the bars went empty, and the whole country changed dramatically. 100,000 people got saved in 6 months. Isn't that amazing? 1904. Now, verse 3 says, "And divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, you know, when for us as charismatic Christians, there were a time that no one spoke in tongues. I don't know if you knew that. It's something that God brought back to the church, but it's something that we should not neglect. We should pray in the Spirit all the time. Paul himself, he said, "I speak in tongues more than any of you." He's the guy who wrote most of the New Testament. There's something that happens when we pray in the Spirit, and I want to encourage you to continue doing that. But in 1906 in America, there was a man, his name was William Seymour. He was an African-American. He was a son of a slave. He prayed for 5 to 7 hours a day, and he prayed for God to pour out His Spirit upon the church. This man was... He saw in the Bible the speaking of tongues and the being filled with the Holy Spirit, and he preached it even though he hasn't experienced it. He wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, but he saw it in the Bible and he started preaching it. So he rented the old empty church, 312 Azusa Street, and he preached a sermon, and the Holy Spirit came so powerfully upon these people that people also started falling over, being touched very powerfully by the Spirit. By the Spirit of God, people had a huge conviction of their sin and reaching out to God. Many people, there wasn't any musical instruments, but they could hear the angels as it was ministering to them. People from the outside would walk into the service. They would open the door and they go, and they would just start speaking in tongues as the Spirit just came over them. Many, many people's lives got changed because of this man's ministry. Apparently, he was a very gentle man. And if a guy came and he put on, if it was in the flesh, he would say, "Dear sir, that is not the Spirit." But he was so in tune with what the Holy Spirit was doing. Many lives got changed. Many people got healed. Many people got saved. And there was a hunger for people to tell other people about what God had done in their lives. The Charismatic and the Pentecostal movements came from this revival of a man that just went and he prayed for 5 to 7 hours a day, seeking God, wanting more of the presence of God. What was interesting is even the children would sit in the churches for long and they just listen and soak up. They didn't go out for children's church, but they were so touched by the Spirit of God. They were so hungry to be in the presence of God that they could sit in and just drench what God was doing in their lives. John G. Lake came from that revival. This man came to Johannesburg. He started the AFM church. Also, the Zionist came from his ministry. Even this man, he prayed for many people who were lame that could walk, blind, that could see, deaf, that could hear, many miracles that happened through this man's life. Now, Acts 2, verse 17, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. That when God pours out His Spirit upon all flesh, all people will flow in the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will prophesy, we'll see dreams, and it will be a place that you'll never be the same. Because when you come into God's presence, you cannot be the same if you've been in the presence of God. And God changes us when His power comes upon us. And there's just this desire in you to change, to become more like who Jesus is. And there's nothing better in this world to be touched by God. When God touches us, when you know that the God of this universe, He came down and He just put His hand on your shoulder. There's nothing better in this world than that. Verse 21 says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And this is God's heart for all people to be saved. Now, when this happened, the people went into the streets. They spoke in tongues. Everyone was freaking out with these people. What are you doing? 9 o'clock in the morning, it looked like they were drinking brandy and coke. They were doing funny things that no one understood what was happening. You know, even with the Tower of Babel, God used it. He mixed up their languages that they couldn't understand one another to disperse them. But here on Pentecost, He gave them the heavenly languages to actually bring people again back to Him as well. And there are many people, when they preach in countries for maybe like Africa, I know of Sias, they tell the story in Malawi, where this man was preaching the word, and the interpreter would stand there, and he would preach, and then the interpreter would speak in anyway, he will speak in the Malawian language, and then this man will preach again, and then eventually this guy just went like this, and at the end he said, "Why didn't you translate?" He said, "Because you were speaking our language perfectly." Some time ago in Stellenbosch, there was a man, he was from France, and this lady in front of him, she was just praying in the spirit, and this man behind her got so touched by God, because she was speaking in perfect French. She was telling him about what God wanted to do in his life. This is the power when God starts speaking, when we speak in tongues, that we must believe this is a heavenly language, that God speaks through us. We don't understand what it is, but in faith that we know that what we are speaking is from God. So all these people came closer, and here Peter is, and he starts preaching this message. And he talks, tells them about who Jesus was, and they say, they were cut to the heart. We want to know Jesus. What must we do? You must repent. You must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Their lives change because of this experience. And I want to say to you this today: if you have not been born again, you will never understand the mysteries of God. And I shared this morning with the people that if you've been born in a Christian home, it doesn't make you a Christian. It's the same if you've been born in a garage, that you are not a car. Or if you've been born in a bakery, you're not a bread. There's a place when that man Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" He said, "You must be born again." Each one of us will stand before God. And then you can't say, "But I knew Theo. He was our pastor. It won't mean anything to you. Do you believe in me? Have you been born again?" In each one of us will stand before God and will give an account. So all of us must come to a place where we say, "I repent. I want to come to God. I want to walk away from my sinful ways. I've been walking this way in the world. I choose not to walk there anymore. I want to walk a road that follows God." There was this man, his name was Jonathan Edwards. In 1730, he lived in Northampton in Massachusetts. And that country also sexual immorality and a lot of drinking that was going on. And people started praying, and the fire of God fell. And there was this young, immoral girl that got saved. All the men knew her very well. And then when they heard she got saved, the men wanted to see, is it true? So people just started getting saved because of the preaching that was happening, and the bars went empty, and people started speaking to any person in the streets. They were just talking about God. And isn't that amazing, just to talk about God? Kurt, I love speaking about God. It's the best subject in the world. It's just to talk about God. But all people were talking about God. But this man's ministry came to a highlight in this town, Enfield, where he preached a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he took his sermon like this, in the one hand and a light in the other hand, and he read the sermon. He didn't preach it, he just read it. And people got so convicted of their sin that they fell on the ground and they screamed, "Help, I'm sliding into hell, help, help." And people started praying for them. 500 people got saved in that one sermon where the man was just reading the word of God. But the presence of God was there. In the next 20 years, 340,000 people got saved through this man's ministry. But it was fired from prayer. There was this man that would go before him and pray and pray and pray. And then he would come and speak the word, to speak the word of God. Now verse 39 says, "For the promise is for you and for your children." Promise is for all of us. This is not for one or two people. This is not for Angus Bachan. This is for all of us. The promise is for everybody. The goodness of God. And I want to encourage you today to really seek God, to seek the Holy Spirit, because this promise is for you. I've shared some time ago, this Jonathan Edwards, someone looked at his descendants and it compared to another man's descendants. And the one man, he was a godless man, like 8 murderers, many people that lived in jail, that were poor, no one had achieved anything. But Jonathan Edwards, one of his descendants was a vice president. There was 3 governors. There was 4 senators. There was, I don't know, hundreds of professors and hundreds of pastors. Many people's lives because of a father that served God. And he released the promise of God into his descendants. Now, this promise is for all of us. And that God is saying to us that we must save ourselves from this crooked generation. But God is looking for people to stand up, to seek God, and to stand up and to be obedient to what God is saying. And a man like that was Charles Finney in 1856. He was a lawyer, and God touched him very powerfully one night, and he became radically saved. And he got baptized by the Holy Spirit just in his quiet time with God, and he begged God to leave him alone because the presence of God in his life was just too much. He couldn't bear the presence of God. But then and he cried before God, and the next day he resigned as a lawyer and he started preaching. And he preached and he did an outreach. Well, the highlight of his ministry was in a period of 6 months in Rochester, 100,000 people got saved in that town. Bars and theaters closed and crime decreased with 70%. The jails were empty for 2 years after that 6 month period. And all the people that got saved during his ministry were the leaders of that town. We hear of crime, but when God preached up, when people get saved, people will not have a desire for crime. The answer to our country's problem is Jesus. When people turn to Jesus, you will not have crime problems anymore. We won't have lawlessness in this country anymore because people would want to serve God and to seek God in everything they do. Verse 41 says, those who received His word were baptized. And they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So when these people got saved, they came together. They came together in the temples. They came together at home. They broke bread. They read the scripture, they edified one another, they built one another, but they came together. And I think this is so important, but this is a place by the Spirit of God where we will just have such a desire to be in the presence of God with our brothers and our sisters. And this is something that I'm really putting my faith out, that we would come to a place where God moves powerfully through us. It will not be an effort to reach out to people, but God's Spirit will come and do the work for us. It will not. We will just speak the word, and God will do the rest. You know, there was after Finney's revival in 1857, there was a Dutch Reformed Church in Fulham Street in New York, and many people were stirred to pray. This church, the Dominie, he was stirred to pray for. He was praying already for 15 years for revival, and then 5 people came every lunch break. They came to his church to start praying. And they just came together and it grew to 10 people, to 20 people. And soon there was 5,000 people praying in his church for revival every day. And then God's Spirit broke out and people just started getting saved. They say between 1857 and 1858, 1 million people got saved in the United States. Another 1 million recommitted their hearts to God. Lives were changing radically. In 1858, 50,000 people got born again a week. Imagine this must happen in Somerset West with all the churches. How many cell leaders will we need? So we must multiply those cell groups. In New England, there is a population of 250,000 people. 50,000 of them started going to church. in that period of time. So that's a, that was a huge revival. So, verse 44 says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Any and I agree with this. I don't think they sold everything. So relax. They sold what they had excess of. So don't think you've got to sell everything. If they had an extra car, they would sell their car and they would give bless the brother who didn't have anything. So you're not going to lose everything. "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." There's a blessing when people come together, when Christians come together, when they start blessing one another. And we can see it in the township church with Jeremiah Harvey. There's such a blessing there because the guys don't have much. But when one suffers, everyone is there. And I think for us, we have the picket fences and we're like, and we're very friendly and we go home and we close the gates behind us. But there is a place that we must really trust God, that we can open our hearts and our houses, that all people can feel welcome in our house because we are family. I don't know if you knew about the revival of Andrew Murray in 1860, but there was actually a revival in 1857 amongst the Khoisa and the Zulu people, where in the same time as in America, in Khoisa land and Zulu land, people got radically saved. And they had a desire for God. They repented of their sinful ways. They seek God with everything that they had. And many lives changed. This one mission station said that 600 people got saved in 1 month. I think it was in Zululand. And there was drastic conversions and people were reaching out to others because they were touched by the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? Now you don't hear that anywhere, but God moved amongst the Zulu and Khoisa people long before He moved with Andrew Murray. But with Andrew Murray, his revival in 1860, this man, if you read verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all people. But it's interesting, with his revival started as well. His father, Andrew Murray's father, was praying for revival for 37 years and he didn't get it. And then his son comes and he's praying for a few years. And in the church where the young people were, there was a colored girl, 15 years old, and she stood up and she said, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And she requested for a song to be sung. And the next moment, I heard this shaking, and the whole place started shaking, and people just started falling over and repenting and praying. I think they were praying in the Spirit, and they had this deep conviction of their sin, and they just repented and prayed all the time, everyone together. And Dominie Murray walked in, and he said, "Stop, stop, stop. This is not from God. Let's sing a hymn." And he tried to stop what he was been praying and his father has been praying for their whole lives. Luckily, there was a man with him that knew what happened in America, and he could say to him, this is from God. Don't stop this. You're stopping a move from God." And then he came through it. But that move changed the whole of the Western Cape, with many people got saved, many people got radically healed, many lives got changed because of Andrew Murray, but I think his father, that really seeked God and really prayed to God. They said there were people in the bush. They would just sit by themselves, and the next moment God's Spirit will fall upon him. This guy would start crying and seeking God, and his life will change forever. Don't you think it must be amazing to come in the presence of God like that? Huh? Oh man, I'm so expecting for this. I really, you know, these people, they would pray the whole night, and they would pray until 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and then they will go to work every day. They were just so hungry for God, so hungry for the presence of God, to be in the presence of the God. And what is amazing, when that happens, you are revived. You're not tired. It's not, oh, no. You just, it goes like that. So we'll keep it short. John 3 verse 8 says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." When I said earlier, when Jesus said to Nicodemus, this man that came to him, that said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? He said, you must be born again. And then he said, but how can I be born again? I'm already born. Should I go back into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, unless you are born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Eni and I talk a lot about this, and we say we sometimes create false converts because we lead them in the sinner's prayer, but their lives don't change, and they believe they are saved. But do you see the Spirit of God in their lives? Can you see the difference of how they were before and how they changed afterwards? And I want to ask you in your own life, are you the same? When did you get born again? When did God's Spirit came upon you? Where you knew before the time I was walking this way and I was a guy that loved hanging out in the bars, God's Spirit came upon me and I changed and I don't want to be like that. And I've got this hunger, this desire to be in the presence of God, to read the Word of God, to pray, to reach out to people, to tell people about Jesus and what Jesus has done in my life. You just have a hunger to go to the nations and share your faith with people, what God has done in your life, because you... the power of God came upon you when His Spirit came upon you. Are you sure you are born again? Can you see the wind blow? Can you see the movement of the wind in your life? Can you see the presence of God? Can you see the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you walk in peace? Do you walk in love and joy? Like you are excited when you wake up in the morning and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus, thank you so much. Do you hear the voice of God? Are you motivated? Are you compelled to go because of the love of Christ in your life? Maybe someone prayed for you long ago and you've given your heart to God, and that's fine. And I'll walk a road, but you watch stuff on television and you don't get stirred anymore when you watch those things. Or you do things, or you swear, or you get drunk, or you go and you can't help yourself, but you're looking at people that you shouldn't be looking at, and all these things. Have you been born by the Spirit of God? Has your life changed? Or did you give a sinner's prayer years ago? Or are you compelled by the love of God to do the Word of God, to be obedient to the presence of God, to the Word of God? Are you compelled to come into the presence of God? Do you want to change your life to what God wants, to become a doer of the Word? Or do you come, hear a message, and go home? So my question for you this morning is, are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for the presence of God? When I'm telling about saying we must pray, do you have to say yes? In your spirit, you agree, we must pray because I want to see people saved. I want to see people's lives changed because that is God's heart. That's the Spirit of God's heart, to see people's lives change. So I'm just going to pray for all of us, and that we just close our eyes, and... I just want to ask you this question as you just close your eyes. Are you sure? Are you sure tonight? Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for Him? For Jesus? That Jesus? If you must die tonight, are you excited about the idea to be with Jesus, to be with our Master? If you would stand in front of Him, what would He say to you? What would you say to Him? Are you ready? Or are you living with one foot in the world and the other foot in the kingdom? And Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve money and me. You either hate the one and love the other one. And Jesus is saying, if you want to serve me, you must deny yourself. You must pick up your cross and you must follow me. What happened when you became a Christian? When you gave your heart to Jesus? When you became born again? Did your life change? Or was it just a step that you did to come closer in becoming part of this club? Or are you hungry for Jesus? Are you hungry for God? Are you stirred by Him? Are you stirred by Him? Does it bother you that people do not know Him? Does it bother you that people might be going to hell? Does it bother you that people do not know Jesus? And if they die, they will spend eternity in terrible, terrible pain and suffering. Does it bother you? Do you have a heart for people, for the nations of this world? Or is it only about you and God? And I'm fine. I know Jesus. I'm fine. The rest can go to hell. Oh God, we pray, Lord, for your presence to come upon us, Lord. God, I pray for you to pour out your Spirit upon us, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we pray, Lord, and we ask you and we say we are hungry for you, God. We are hungry for you, God. Oh, Father, stir our hearts, Lord. Stir us, God, in the name of Jesus. Stir us, God, to come and become priests of the most holy God in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we pray that each one of us, God, will stand up in the calling that you have called us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, that we will go and be your witnesses, Lord, as your power comes upon us, God. Father, thank you that you say that if we believe, we will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. We will cast out demons and they will flee. We will speak in new tongues, God. That we will pray for the blind and they will see, God. Father, we pray and we thank you, God, it's not by us, but it's by your Spirit, God. And we pray, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit and fire upon us, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.